We're going to be in Colossians for several weeks here, particularly in this chapter, and I'm going to unpack it. I am as thrilled. I cut out material this morning because I don't want to be here forever, but I am thrilled with what God has done in my life studying this, and I think for you. Today, we're going to talk about a new year, a new you. You've stood and sat a time or two, one last time, pay honor to God and His Word here. Colossians chapter 3, if you're willing and able, Colossians 3, I love to pay honor to God's Word. Verse 1, if you're risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sits on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For you are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory. I got news for you. That is a phenomenal set of verses right there. Verse 5. Mortify, put to death, therefore your members, your body, your inhibitions there, which are upon the earth. Fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence. Those are old words here. He's talking about sexual sins and covetousness, greed, which is idolatry. For which things' sake the wrath of God comes upon the children of disobedience. If you don't hear another word I say, people say, my life is, and they say something that's bad or sad or sorry or whatever. I got news for you. If you do the stuff in verse 5, you get what comes in verse 6. God is not happy with you. Nobody ever sins and wins. Nobody ever sins and wins. You can say you know Jesus and you do those things. You don't sin and win. You don't know Christ. You've never been born again. You've never been saved by His precious blood that we sang about, that William Cowper penned so many years ago, by His death and His bloody crucifixion, all those things. You never had that experience. You will never sin and win. You can be 14, you won't sin and win. You can be 40, not sin and win. You can be 80, not sin and win. Nobody does that, verse 7. In which time you also walked when you lived in them. I'm glad for verses like verse 7. That used to be your story. That's how I used to live. That's how I used to do. That's what used to characterize me. How many of you are glad you got a used to somewhere in your story? Say amen. Verse 8. He has the physical sins. Now he gets to more of the dispositional sins. Verse 8. But now you also put off all these. Anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy or abusive or nasty communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another. It's an interesting hinge. We're going to get to that. See that you've put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new man. Whew. The new you, which is created in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Every program out there, every lady on YouTube yelling at you to step faster, every guy out there selling some product and a powder that you mix with your orange juice and blend it in the morning. You can look like me. I don't want to look like him. I don't know you ought to look like her. I want to act like Jesus, created in the image of him. That's the pattern, the template. Verse 11. Whether there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision, uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond free, but Christ is all and in all. He takes verse 11 and he says verse 5. Those are things that the Jews accuse the Gentiles of, and then the Gentiles accuse the Jews of the other thing. He says nobody's exempt here. You religious people, you irreligious people, you folks that come from this background, grew up in church, you folks that never grew up in church, and you got all these horror stories. It doesn't really matter. Either way you look at it, both bags of sins you got to do something with. Why? Because of what he says in those first verses. A new year. Father, help us this morning. I need you. We need you. Fill me. Speak to our hearts. I pray as we record the message, as this is sent out online, people who are not able to be here watching. Fathers, we have multiple states and sometimes multiple countries watching this as people send it and share it with others. How I pray that the power of the Word of God would speak to hearts. Holy Spirit, you would speak to us today. I pray that you would convict people. I pray that you would draw us. I pray for those who are discouraged that you would thrill us and help us and encourage us. Use me, I pray. Thank you, Spirit, for your anointing. I pray that you bless now. Help us to love you with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength. And help us to apply what we hear today. I ask in Jesus' wonderful name. And amen. You can be seated. You can be seated. The Bible is full of this idea of new things, new events, new opportunities. The Bible is full of all that kind of stuff. So what do you mean? 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 13. Nevertheless, we, according to His promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. New. Well, I love that, don't you? There's going to be a day when things are new. And that wonderful idea, Christ is making that for us. Lamentations chapter 3, verse 23. They are new every morning. What is His mercy? Great is your faithfulness. How many of you are glad for God's mercy, that He has a fresh supply, as it were, each day? How many of you need it? How many of you feel like you exhaust God's patience and God's mercy? You never do, but anybody ever feel that way? God's got to be tired of me. God's got to be ready to give up on me. Lamentation says, no, no, no. 2 Corinthians 5:17, if any man's in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Literally becoming new. I am, by the power of Christ, I'm not who I used to be. God's working on me. He's creating me. He's furnishing. That's different than anything we know. Not dread if you follow that. We buy stuff and it gets worse. We buy food, we have to refrigerate it. Andrea broke my heart last night. She said she bought a tub of margarine on sale. How many of you love those words? Food on sale. Anybody besides me? I don't care what it is. I don't care what it is. Food on sale. She bought food on sale. She bought a tub of margarine. Does margarine come any other way than in a tub? Really? Stick? You got a stick of margarine? Why didn't you buy a stick? It wasn't on sale. And she bought a tub of margarine for some recipe, some Pinterest concoction to experiment on me with. And some of you followed that, some of you didn't. Some of you are pointing at people in here. And so she bought this thing, and we didn't use it. How do you let butter and margarine go to... We didn't. And so she opened it up, and there was a green fuzz inside of it. Green fuzz inside of it. Now, again, if I'd have found that, John, if I'd have found that we'd have scraped the green fuzz out and kept on going, I wouldn't have told anybody, because the penicillin's good for you. And Dr. Ting's back there going, that is not true. And and she said, I said, what'd you do? She said, I threw it away. And I was upset about food I never knew was here that had gone, that was on deal. I mean, I'm talking about it in the sermon this morning. And, we have to do things because they don't get better, they get worse. He says here that when we're in Christ, when we become a Christian, that God is making us into this new thing, this new creation, our theme verse for the month. God is making all things new. He's making all, only He has the power to do that. Only He has the power to take your broken, messed up story and turn it into something new and beautiful. By the way, how many of you, if I stop right now, you'd be a happy camper just with that one thought. God can take your past and say that does not determine your future. God can not only do that, but He can change your present. How many of you would love for God to continue to work on your present? It's a new year. It's a new you. I don't take that from the cover of Oprah's new book club. I don't take that from a theme that I got on on some show somewhere. I take that because that's what He says here. Not the new year part, but He talks about the new you. He talks about where God is making the new man, the new person. I suggest to you that we do want to be better. We do want to be different. I thumbed through the paper last week, the Walmart and the Target, and it was like everything was about exercise and new clothes and all those kind of things and torture devices. How many of you look at the sale paper and you think, that looks like it hurts to just look at? Anybody? You got bands and devices and you know, stair steppers that move and all. And I'm thinking there's liability here somewhere. And of course, if you want them, you just wait till April when everybody's tired of them and they go sell them at the thrift store. You know, and it's kind of thing. And we want that, something about us. We got new plans and new diets and new exercise. We go from everything from the goofy to the grind. We are hopeful and hopefully full of help. We try and stop certain things. How many people, I'm going to bed earlier. I'm just too tired. They stay up binge watching still at 1 or 2 a.m. Some folks just go, eh, what's the need to try? I have a buddy. He says his body was built for comfort. And his body built for recreation and not exercise. His body was built for comfort. And he said he's never met a donut he didn't like, and he's got a whole routine there. But we don't try. Sometimes we do. We work hard. We work harder. I wasn't a very good Christian this year. I'll try harder. I wasn't a very good husband this year. I wasn't a very good wife this year. Or we just complain about it. You know, I'm just this way, right? We excuse our bad behavior on genetics or upbringing, right? Anybody there? You know, my joke, you know, somebody says, I have a bad temper. I think your temper is okay. You know, I just lost my temper. Well, heaven help us if you find your temper. Amen. And, you know, these kind of things here. We complain about it. Or we just, you know, young people, meh. Shrug. Hook into buds and, you know, world can be on fire, but we're, as long as we got battery life, right? The only thing that matters to people under 25 is battery life, right? Is some of you are like, I don't believe that. You let the battery die and you find out. Or we shift our blame. We shift our blame. I used to joke, you know, people would tease me about my weight, or they wouldn't tease me to be ugly. And, you know, and they'd say something, and I'd say, well, I just eat what Andrea cooks. And Andrea's like, you got to quit saying that. You know, people think I'm poisoning you or whatever. I was like, well, you let the margarine go bad. And I'm kidding. Okay. You know, we do that. We like to shift it, right? Parents, set parents, grandparents, we, you know, whatever. I'm in a bad mood because the people I work with, we just push everything off. Not we, but other people, right? We do that. We call that blame shifting or technically transference there. I don't have time for what you're going to talk about today. I got diapers, I got dishes, I got waiting, I got work. There is no time for spiritual transformation. There is no reality to my spiritual life other than 11 to 12 or 12:10 on Sunday. Well, nod your head, but I guarantee you there's some of us that feel that way. There's no reality to my spiritual transformation other than 11 to 12 on a Sunday. I suggest to you that if you really are interested in what God says here, and that is as illogical as me running my car through a car wash, hoping that the car wash will help fix my transmission. That is as illogical as me, excuse me, illogical as me trying to read a book on Chinese, thinking that's going to help me, pardon me, that's going to help me learn how to sing in Italian. You can do that, but it doesn't make any sense. I suggest to you that what we're describing here, that there is hope and this can become your reality, and it should be your reality. I want to help you. I want to help you. How can this become my reality? How can this become my reality? How can this become what I look forward to? Go back to verse 1. Keep your Bibles open. Take some good notes here. I'm going to give you some things. Write down what strikes your ear. I've got an outline for you, some ideas. But take some notes. Put them in your, take them in your phone, whatever you want to do. You write them on the back there. This is going to become a theme for you. This is going to become a template. We're going to take this passage apart this week, next few weeks. We're going to do a good part of it here today. He starts off here. He starts off with a new reality, verse 1. Verse 1, if you then be risen with Christ, you can do it a couple of ways there. Really, it's since you're risen with Christ. If almost is conditional. Since you're risen with Christ, you have been raised up with Christ. There is no doubt. It literally is the idea of being co-resurrected. I have entered into his death and his resurrection. This is the new reality. You are already different because Christ has saved you from your sins. If you have called upon his name and confessed it, you have a new reality. You may not live like it. You may not think that way, but this is your new reality. You have been raised with him, Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me, and the life I live in the flesh, I now live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I am now closely identified with Christ. I'm closely identified with Christ. And that's going to be his theme here. Say, I want a new year, new you. I want to experience what you're talking about, the new man. I'm tired of living the way I've been living. I'm tired of the ups and downs, and there's going to be some of that. There always is. I'm tired of the crazy pendulum swings. I'm tired of pillowing my head at night, knowing that my mouth has said what it said, and I have done what I have done. I'm tired of that. I'm tired of feeling the way I feel. I'm tired of half-heartedness toward my Savior. He says, you've been resurrected with Christ. And that's going to be his theme here. Look at these passages I mentioned. You're in chapter 3 there. He talks about, I am resurrected with Christ. He says, where Christ is, verse number 3, I am with Christ. Verse 4, when Christ. Verse 4 again, with Christ. He stresses over and over and over and over again. It is about Jesus. If you want the new man, this new person here, You're going to have a singular focus and singular identity, and that's going to be with Christ, with Christ. People like, man, I like my music, and I like this, and I like that. That's all well and good. But your focus has got to be on Him. And you've got to understand this is your new identity and your new reality here. I wrote this down for you. The new life is real and powerful, but so is remaining in sin. It's real, it's powerful, but so is remaining in sin. How many folks do you know, do I know, how many folks, part of your story is you knew better, but you just stayed in sin and crossed your fingers hoping it'd get better. You never thought you'd go as far as you'd go. You never thought you'd drink as much as you drink. You never thought you'd smoke as much as you smoke. You never thought you'd go that route. Go that far. You never thought you'd hurt that many people. You never thought you'd bring that much shame on yourself. You never thought that. The grip of sin. New life is powerful, but so is all this other. He's offering us a contrast here, and let me help you. The only middle ground is from one way to the other. There's no neutral here. There's just the journey going up or the journey going down. Down into sin, up toward godliness. That's all there is. That's all there is. So he says there's a new reality. He says there's a new focus. New focus. I'm going to get real practical here. There's a new focus here. Look in verse 1. He says, excuse me, since you're risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sits on the right hand of God. He says to seek those things which are above. Verse 2, he says to set your affection on things above. Seek those things which are above, and then set your mind on the things that are above. The seek there is the idea. It's the idea of literally to put my heart upon. This is my desire. This is what I want to do. This is what I want to do. I love when we first came here and folks introduced me to UT football, and I was like, okay, football game's on at 1. No, we got to be there at 9. I'm like, I can tell time pretty well. Wait, we got to be there for this. We got to do this. We got to eat here. We got to do this. And I'm like, okie dokie. I don't know. I can do this. Well, we hadn't invited you because you're not really a UT fan. And I'm like, well, I didn't know there was membership and a test and all those kind of things. And like I said, kind of joke around. The only game I've been invited to is the one where they were playing the high school team and it was about 12 degrees and raining outside. And I passed because I've had my pneumonia for the year, and I didn't do that, and we're here. You get that? I mean, this is what I want to do. This is what I want to be. When we're talking about this, he says, "You know, I'm to set my affection on things." But this is where I put my allegiance. This is where I put my focus on things. He's saying I start to view my world through the eyes of Scripture and through the eyes of Christ. Our problem is what? We're focused on all kinds of things. It's not we don't have any desire. We're just desiring for everything else. We're desiring for a dollar. We're desiring for a boy. We're desiring for a girl. We want a new this or a new that. And we get all off track about saying, he says, because you've been resurrected, he says, you are to put your attention on, set your heart on things that are above. It's not just thinking heavenly. It literally is the idea that I'm just consumed with it. I'm consumed with the things of Christ. I'm consumed with what amazes him. I'm consumed with what he is interested in. I'm trying to hurry a little bit here. I'm consumed with his purpose and his plan and his provision and his power. I'm consumed with seeing people come to Christ and come to him. He says, I'm to seek those things. This is my desire. I'm constantly to do this. One of the ways we do this here is we kind of have this check-in every week. Come to service. Come to Bible study. Come to Wednesday night. We check in. This is where I'm supposed to be. This is it. I'm putting myself in the perspective here that this is what's right, and I'm making sure that my priorities are right here. He says to make sure that your mind is on those things. This is what consumes my thinking. Years ago, I was fill-in pastor, we called him. I was just an interim, but it was about 90 miles away from where I lived, and it was a good church, and I was working at the college, so I did this. It was only going to be for a few months. It ended up being a while. I don't remember, 5-6 months. It was a lot of driving, and at the time I had a Ford Explorer. For me, that means I remember them by how many transmissions I put in them. And I think I was on the second or third one here. And so, but the transmission, I'd fixed it. And then right before the summer started, the air conditioner went out. So I would drive down there. I would drive down there in a T-shirt. And I'd drive down there in a T-shirt because it was just blazing hot. And then I would like change at Burger King. I'd change and wearing a T-shirt. I had on everything. I didn't have my dress shirt on. Some of you lost your mind right then. Sorry about that. And so I would do that. And I know the people at Burger King thought I was doing something nefarious. Because I walked in looking like a sweaty bum, and I walked out, you know, in a coat and tie. I never asked anybody what they thought. But anyway, I changed this Burger King before I got to the church. And anyway, and I go there, and then I'd eat with different people. And I went to this one people's house, and they're just really sweet and nice folks. And they had two teenage daughters. They ended up teaching the one daughter at the college. But anyway, the other one was just full of energy. I mean, she just kind of like a butter, just like a hummingbird. She'd eat her food, three or four bites, and she'd walk and come back. And I was trying to get to know her. I didn't know her spiritual condition. And anytime I was at somebody's house, I tried to minister to them. And I said, let me come up to your room. And her dad's like, you probably don't want to do that. I'm like, well, now I really want to do it. And I was like, is it dirty? So, well, no more than usual. And so, but anyway, they built this room. It was a two-story house, but then they had a kind of a small little attic. And sloped walls. Everybody with me here, like a fun house, and they put her up there, basically in the crow's nest, the sort of third floor. So you had to go through the rooms and all, and we get in there, and it's just nicely laid out. She's got her bedroom and all, but she's got these giant posters of these guys from the Lord of the Rings. This girl's 12, 13, and she has got. I mean, 4 or 5 foot posters, and these guys are all soaking wet, and they've shined them up, you know, and they got the kind of the snarl, and they made them into a poster, and she's got them over her bed and on the wall, and I walk in there, and I'm going, wow, look at that, and she goes, I know, isn't he dreamy, and I said, that was not the first thing came to my mind, and the first thing came to my mind is I'd wake up and forget that the walls were like this. And look up, and I see a strange man with a bow pointed at me, you know, and an orc over there in the corner. And she said, oh, it's fine. Her dad is just, I hear him. He's a few steps behind me. He is rolling with laughter. And we get downstairs. He's like, you're not going to tell anybody to the church, are you? I'm like, oh, yeah. Yeah. And he's like, well, it won't bother her. It's going to bother her. I need some pie. And anyway, and so he gave me some pie. I'm kidding. But we're there. When we get this, we understand that, right? Whether that's a car, whether that's a hobby, whether that's a job, whether that's a pastime, we understand being consumed with something. He said, this ought to consume you. Put your mind here. Let this be the thing of your heart. He says there's a new focus. He says there's a new reality. He says there's a new motivation. What's the new motivation? New motivation. You're in verse 3 there. In verse 3, the Bible says, for you are dead and your life is hid with Christ. He said, you have been what? You have been identified with Christ. You have union with Him. Our lives are hidden in with Christ in God. What do you mean? We have a word. If I say you have a safe in your house, if I have a safe in your house, what's probably in your safe? Trash? Valuables, right? Valuables, everybody. The 6 of you that are still listening, you did real well. And we have valuables, right? When I was a young boy, my dad got me a faux book, and had a little key, and you could slide it in your bookshelf, and you could put treasure in there. Now I'm 5. I got big treasure, and I wish I still had. I'd love to give it to the kids, and. But you do this, and I was so, you know, I had a few coins in there. I had some Canadian money. You know, not realizing it was, and I had a few things like that, and I had some stuff in there. I put a pocket knife in there, and I had it, and I had it there with my Hardy Boys books, and I put things that were special there, and it was protected. They were protected. I talked with some people yesterday. They're getting a new security system put in their house because they feel like that they need it because they want the things inside of it to be safe. He says, your life is hid. It's the idea that He is, not only you're identified with Him, but He's taking care of you. You want good motivation? I got better for you than any security system. I got better for you than any police force. I've got better for you. That your life is now hid with him. You are identified with him. And he is taking great care of you. Boy, when we have good motivation, when we feel safe and secure where we are, when we have this idea and this sense of well-being, we just do better, don't we? Proverbs says that about the virtuous woman, Proverbs 31, that the heart of her husband is safely trust in her. There's something that gives a man esteem and security, knowing that his wife is doing what she's supposed to be doing. Let me help you. And there's something in a woman's heart that says, my husband is coming home and he loves me and he's only got eyes for me, that gives her a sense of security and well-being. We get it on a horizontal level. Let me offer it to you on a vertical level, that your life is now hid with Christ in God. You're safe there. You're identified there. By the way, this life now is concealed. See, what do you mean? When I'm hid in God, it's hard for other folks to see it. I don't expect lost people to understand what's going on. I don't expect folks who have not repented of their sins to understand what's going on in my life. I just don't. Choices you make, things you do, things you don't do. I don't expect it. Part of that motivation is that I am hid with him. He says that you have died to sin. You've died to sin. See, what do you mean? I've died to the penalty of sin. I've died to the power of sin. If I sin now, it's because I choose to. Romans chapter 6. Know you not that to whom you serve, to him you are the slaves of the masters you obey. I don't have to sin anymore. Let me say it one more time. If you've repented of your sins, put your faith and trust in Christ, you don't have to sin anymore. You've been freed from the power of sin. See, I still struggle. We struggle because we've not got our new bodies yet. But I don't have to sin anymore. I've been freed. Man, you want motivation there? You don't have to do this anymore. You don't have to do this anymore. I've talked to folks that are retired, and they say, what's the greatest thing? Man, I didn't have to do anything I didn't want to tomorrow. Tired. Some of you, that sounds like a good idea, doesn't it? You may want to do something, but you don't have to do anything. Some of you just thrilled now. You've forgotten all about the sermon. All you want to do now is retire, right? He says, you're dead to sin. He says, you're dead to sin. He says, you're identified with Christ. Your life is hidden with Christ in God. I have a new nature. I have a new hope. I have a new opportunity here. I have new motivation. Now, all this is real positive. Man, I have a new reality. I've got new resources. I've got new motivation. Then he gives you a new approach to sin. I want to spend my time for just a moment here. I want to help you. Say, this is all good. I've heard this before, but I do this for a couple weeks or do this for a couple months and I'm out of church for 6 months or I'm out of church for 6 weeks or I don't do this. Some of you have second shift and all. You know I'm not talking to you, but I'm just stuck here. I seem to stumble and trip here all the time. Because it gets real practical. He says three things here. Look at verse 5, verse 8, and verse 9. He talks about sin and he uses three sets of verbs here. He says, put to death. He says, get rid of. Rid yourselves. And he says, don't lie. He said, this is be my attitude to sin. Now, if you're struggling with the new man, the new person that God has intended for you to be and the Spirit has given you the power to be and all that, if you're struggling, I got news for you. You're not doing one of these three things. You're struggling in these three areas. You may have it all right here, but you don't have it practically. You're good to go 11 to 12, 10, but then somewhere this afternoon or tomorrow, you start struggling one of these. This is to be my approach to sin. He says to put it to death. He says to put it to death, to kill it, to slay it. The word there is the same word we get our word of necros or necromancer or any of those kind of things. It means to make it dead. I'm to make sure it's dead. I told the story when I first came, but we had a stray cat my mom for some reason adopted. And it was awful. My brother had a 65 restored Mustang. Mustang blue. That was what he wanted for graduation. My folks got it for him. This is back before they were just a fortune. The cat liked a car for some reason. Cat would go up and take a nap on it. Then the cat would slide down with his claws out. Made my brother happy. They took the cat off. Took the cat off several miles. Cat comes back. You may remember that old country or western or folk song, Cat Came Back, Couldn't Stay Away. We were living that song. We had the video. And so they took it a long way off in the next direction. Cat came back a couple days later. Cat would get on top. Cat would eat his food, go up on top of my brother's car, and use the restroom. That made my brother really happy. One time, I was out there and caught the cat messing with the car. The cat had been taken off, and my brother went inside, found a implement, and came out and dispatched the cat. I've learned not to say what he did on video. And helped the cat not do what he was doing anymore. My dad came home, saw what my brother had done, and decided to help bury the cat. And my mom says that he saw my dad jumping up and down on the cat's grave. My dad denied that till he died. My brother, now that my dad's dead, admits that's probably what happened. And for all you cat lovers, I know you're mad at me now. It's a story. I didn't do it. I was there. Oh, poor cat, poor cat. It's a violent end. That's what he's saying here. Kill it. Kill what? Glad you asked. He lifts them for us here. He says you are to kill the things that we would call sexual immorality. Sexual immorality. He says to kill impurity. He says to kill lust. He says to kill greed. Wait for it. I think I've got all five in idolatry there. He says the word pornea there. It's all kinds of sexual sin. A believer is not to give any space, not to give any life, not to give any oxygen to anything that promotes any kind of immorality. The word impurity there means something that's a physical. If pornea is all of that, is everything, impurity has to do with what I do with my body here. Lust, that word, that has to do with my feelings, what goes on in my mind. This knocks out premium, so many premium shows. This knocks out so many things. I was the other day, somebody was talking about the benefits of this or that, and they were hating that this program, The House of Cards, was going off. And I said, and I looked it up, and The House of Cards is about a man and a woman who are having an affair with the same person in a bisexual, homosexual kind of idea. And that was one of the running themes of the show. And I'm going, who is sad that this show might go off the air? That's the kind of stuff you put to death. I've not watched 30 seconds of Game of Thrones. I've watched interviews with J.R. Martin, and he's an unbelievable evil man, perverse man. But apparently a good writer. I give him his due. I watched the interview with one of the main characters there. She talked about that she had her folks over, and they watched the scene where she's brutally raped, and they show it demonstrated out on camera and all. And she said it was an awkward situation to be in with her parents. And she giggles about it. And I'm thinking, what kind of mind giggles at simulated rape and watching it with your parents and you're naked as God made you on this screen here? This is the world you and I live in. Let me help you here. We get real mad at what's there. Let me help you. You ought to get real mad at what's going on here. Put it to death. Don't give it any space. Don't give it any oxygen. Don't give it any food. Don't feed it. If that means you got to hand off your phone at night because you can't handle and control what you're doing at night when nobody's around, if you got to put all kinds of filters there, if you got to knock the internet out of your house, pardon me, if you got to change where you work and change where you're sitting, change who you ride with, whatever it is, he says to put it all to death. Don't give it any space. Don't give it any air. Say, I want to have a new me. Well, you're going to have to change your reaction toward these sexual sins. You wait for it. People you've seen crash and burn in their spiritual lives, you can mark it down. Mark it down. Whether it was at the start or the end, they struggled in one of these areas. He said, I can handle it. It won't bother me. It won't bite me. It won't do this. He says, why are they so bad? He's so bad. Again, just very quickly, look at it. He says, for which things, verse 6, the wrath of God comes upon the children of disobedience here. They are sins that incur the wrath of God. You will never sin and win. By the way, these things you should be true about your past. If they're true about your present, let me help you. If they've never stopped being true about your present, I want you to wonder and be concerned if you've ever been born again, if you've ever trusted God. There should be a break in your pattern. These should be part of your past. But whether you're a believer or an unbeliever, you understand God is not happy with these. Well, that makes me sad. It makes me upset. You be mad with me, but you need to be mad with the Bible. You be man with God. This is how he has set it up. It incurs the wrath of God, and they should all characterize your old life. It should be your past, not your present. It should be your past, not your present. You want to have something to pray, Lord, help these things be my past. By the way, aren't you glad they can be your past? If that means starting today, they can be your past. It means tomorrow they can be your past. How many of you are excited that God wants to do something new in your heart and in your life today? Today can be part of your past. He says, put them to death. Just put them to death. He says, just put them away. He says, the idea of taking off your dirty clothes here. He lists some of these. Talks about anger and rage and malice and slander. They said that the Gentiles were guilty of those first sets of sins. And then Paul says, hey, but all of you too. So whether this is an outward visible thing or whether it's an internal thing that only erupts every now and then, he says, you're to put away these. Anger and rage there. One is the idea of an action. The other is the idea of something that's just boiling over. Malice is kind of my planned idea. It's a general word there. The word slander there. Some of your Bibles, it says blasphemy. Down at the bottom is a note. It's not blasphemy vertically. I mean, he's talking about blasphemy this way. I'd be very careful how I talk about people. I hold their reputation in my hand. I should not slander them. Let me help you. So most of what goes on cable news is sinful. Slanderous. Wait for it. Then he uses a word it's almost hard to translate. He says, filthy communication out of your mouth. It's the idea of ugly talk or foul mouth talk, but it's got a point to it. It's like a stick. It really is a word we get abuse from. You talk ugly to your mom and dad, stepmom, stepdad, grandma and grandpa, you ought to put that off like a smelly, stinky, rotten piece of clothing. It literally is the idea, we would say a dirty diaper. You need to run from that just as fast as you can. If you get out of bed in the morning and you're launching into your spouse and working them over because you've got the sharp tongue and you know how to hurt them and cripple them, you understand Paul says, and the inspiration of the Spirit of God, you need to put that off. You need to strip that off just like it's rank clothing, just like it's filthy and foul mouth, just like you just took a bath in a bunch of manure. You need to run from that like it's disease-ridden. And here's what we do. With that anger and rage and malice turn into slander and turn into this foul-mouthedness. Wait for it. And then we wonder, seems like God's wrath is on us. We wonder why we can't do what we should do. Let me help you here. Whether it's the first set or the second set, he says to those of you who are thinking he's avoided me, he says, and stop lying. He says, stop lying. The way it's constructed and original is, stop lying right now. Stop what you're doing. I mean, anybody, parents, grandparents, step-parents, anybody here? Anybody here used to be a child? Some of you are just not listening, are you? You ever had a parent or grandparent, and maybe you've done it, and they don't see you, but they know what you're doing? Just stop what you're doing! And you're going, how do they know? It's only been recently our children didn't think that my wife had eyes all over the house. She'd hear them doing something. You mean to stop that? How did she know? She knew because she heard them and she assumed they were doing what they were supposed to be, weren't supposed to be doing. Here's what he's saying here. He's saying, lie not one to another. I go, hey, John, man, I'm really worried, but I'm fine, preacher. Stop lying. How's things going? They're going okay. I'm all right. Stop lying. My spiritual life is better than I make it out to be. Wait for it. Stop lying. Stop being deceitful. get honest. That's the positive way of saying it. You need to get real honest with things. You hadn't opened your Bible in 6, 8, 10 weeks. You got a spiritual problem. You don't have any desire to love Christ, and your affection's not on things above. You got a spiritual problem. You need to get honest and get real. You need to stop lying. Here's what we do. I look nice. I smell nice. I visit church every now and then. I go through the drive-thru of 11 to 12, 10, and I expect life to be better. He says, that's not the case. You got to deal with sin. You got to put some stuff to death. You got to strip some other stuff off like it's just rank clothing and it's soured, it's soured, and all this kind of stuff. And you got to find, you got to get honest. You got to quit lying. Till you get real honest, you'll never get right with God, and you'll never experience what it is to be the new person in Christ He desires you to be. I thought we were going to have fun today. There's all kind of fun at the other end of this. Put it to death and you put it off. You decide to get real honest. Buddy Pat Hall, pastors in Wilmington, North Carolina, beautiful place, beautiful church. God's given him a wonderful ministry with addicts. And he said one of them said, preacher, you ever held a 500-pound phone? What? He said every time you call, he said, it's what it looks like. If I pick it up, it looks like it weighs 500 pounds. Because I know you're going to ask me where I was or what I'm doing or how am I. It's just easier to let it lay there than answer and lie to you. If I do answer, I got to be honest. It's a 500 pound. This looks like a 500. You got to get honest. Get honest. He says, stop lying. Stop being deceitful here. He says, there's a new life. He says, how can I start this? How can I start this? How can I start it? 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, you can repent. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If you feel real bad where you are, I got real great news. Today can be different. Today can be different. You can repent and you can confess. And 1 John 1, 9 says, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. I know people you've run out of patience with. I know people have run out of patience with you. They are done with you. They've written you off. I got news for you. You have a wonderful Heavenly Father. As long as you feel conviction in your heart, I want to encourage you that He's dealing with you. And He says, you need to say, God, I'm sorry for what I've done. And I want to be right with you. And I want you to help me to live for you in the future. Man, that is great, fantastic news. He says, I can repent, I can confess, I can repent, I confess, I can be watchful, I can pray. You guard your heart, you take these things to God in prayer, I can be mindful. I was 11 years old, I wouldn't worry about if the front door was locked. I'm 47 now, I walk around twice before I go to bed, make sure everything's locked. I think I'm still the same guy, but I'm kind of worried about where I live and people around me. We know how to do that with a house or an apartment or a trailer. We ought to be doing that without our spiritual lives. Jesus says, what could you not watch and pray that you enter not temptation? The spirit is indeed willing, but the flesh is weak. You say this is a good idea, but you put some feet to it. You guard some things. You pray about some things. You confess your sins. Excuse me. You watch and you pray. Then He says, make sure that you do what is necessary. Matthew's gospel, Jesus says, it is better what? He says, if your right eye offends you, pluck it out. It's better to enter into heaven with one eye blind in one eye than to enter whole, two eyes into hell. Do what is necessary. Get real radical. New year, new year, new you. I don't think you need new clothes. I don't think you need a new weight plan. That's all well and good. But you need to understand your new identity. Your new resources, wait for it. You better understand your new relationship with sin. Every now and then somebody says, where's so-and-so? And I don't have the heart or the liberty to say they're in a mess because of sinful choices they've made. Where are they? In a mess. Some of you right now, I've been preaching and your mind just been flooded with people. Some of you have been thinking about your past. Some of you have been thinking about, if I don't get right with God, I don't know how many more swings of this I'm going to get before I'm just under completely His wrath. Do what is necessary. Do what is necessary. New year, new you. I got to stop. Pray with me right now. Our heads are bowed. Nobody's looking around. You say, Pastor Rodney, I'm here this morning. If I die like I am, I die and spend an eternity in devil's hell. I don't want to. I'm concerned about my soul. Would you pray for me this morning? Would you pray for me this morning? If I die like I am, I'm either know I wouldn't go to heaven or I'm sure I wouldn't go to heaven. Would you pray for me this morning? I won't call on you. I won't do anything but pray for you. I want to do that. You can raise your hand and you can make eye contact with me. Would you pray for me? I'm not sure I'd go to heaven. I die like I am. Thank you. Thank you. There are several hands. Today's your day. Today's your day. You can have the part of the story where it's your past. Say, Pastor, I'm here today and I know Christ. Boy, I sure have struggled. By the way, my hand's going to go up in a second. I've struggled. There's some things I need to put off and put to death. There's some things I just need to get real honest about. And I need to let Scripture run my life and not me run my life. Would you pray for me this morning? Some things I'm really struggling with. Maybe I mentioned them, maybe I didn't. But they're issues. They're issues in my life. Would you pray for me this morning? Would you slip your hand? Well, thank you. Being real honest now, I'm not going to lie about it. I'm not going to pretend everything's just fine. Thank you. We can put them right up and right back down. Anybody else? Thank you. God's put His finger on some things. It's a new year. It's a new you. It's a new person. That's what He's saying. I want to invite you in just a moment to do real business with Him. Our church, we're just kind of simple. We've got our chairs at the front, and there's places all around. The front stage here, our altar. You can come and talk to Him. If you want somebody to pray with you, they'll be glad to. If you want me to pray with you, take a Bible. Or if you're a lady, Andrea, take a Bible and pray with you. Make sure that everything's right between you and the Lord. You have that opportunity now. Our heads are bowed. Would you just real quietly stand to your feet? We're going to be dismissed in a second, but we're just going to give folks an opportunity to respond. Music's beginning to play. Would you stand with us, Father? Speak to every heart. Draw people to yourself. Help folks, Lord, as they dedicate this year to you to do that. We love you. We thank you. We ask all this in your Son's precious name. Would you come this morning? Would you step out? Maybe you want to come as a couple. Maybe you want to come as a family and dedicate this year to the Lord. Maybe you want to come because God put some things right in the crosshairs today and really spoke to your heart, maybe zeroed in on some areas. Maybe it's embarrassing. Nobody will know. But you know. Remember what He said. You need to get honest. You need to quit lying. You need to quit acting like things are okay. You need to deal with these things. That's just like the 500-pound phone, like the 500-pound invitation, that first step. Again, you walking out doesn't change anything in your life. You walking out just says, I'm willing to obey. Maybe where you are, you sit back down and talk to the Lord. Maybe kneeling's not an option. Maybe you want to pray there. Whatever it is, you do business with God now. I'm not going through the church car wash. I want life to be different on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday. God's put His finger on some things. Maybe you're here and you're not sure you're a Christian. Right after service, man, I'd love to talk to you. Love to share with you God's word. Say, Pastor, I'm praying this year that I would be the new person in Christ that He has died for me to be, that my life would be hidden His. And I want so much to deal with sin according to the way the Bible says. Boy, that's my prayer, that's my heart, that's my testimony today. This would be true in my life. Would you slip your hand up with mine with a lot of hands? Thank you. Put them right up, right back down. That's my prayer that I'd be the new person in Christ that He wants me to be. Would you make that commitment now, Lord? I want to cooperate with the Scripture. I want to do what it says. I'm praying to that end. Wonderful Savior, we love you and we thank you for the service, for the message from Scripture. Oh, would you help our hearts and minds to know you and to love you. Continue to deal with folks, I ask and pray. We ask it in Jesus' wonderful name. And amen. Amen. You can be seated just for 1 second. We're going to be dismissed. There'll be folks out in the lobby there if you want to pick up something from the book stand. You can get that. Excuse me. Just a couple real quick things. We're doing a little bit of a pivot on the back wall. And we had originally said we're going to use pallets, and we're going to go back to that. And so what we're going to do, Brother White's helping me get some of this organized. What we're going to do probably is since it is cold, we're figuring out how many we're going to need, and then we're going to let you take 5 or 6 home and get them a little bit of stain. We'll walk you through that and kind of get them ready. And then we're basically, instead of 1 or 2 people trying to do, 100 pallets, maybe split it up, do it in some warm garages, and then kind of get the wall ready and have them here. If you've been to Corner 16, the new restaurant, you'll see what we're talking about. I'll take some pictures of that today, tomorrow, Tuesday, but save the money and just kind of have a little sweat in it, and I think it'll look great, and that's kind of what we'd originally said anyway, and we went a different way, but it's just a whole lot of money, and so... We're going to do that. So we're going to ask some of you. We're going to try and plane one side of them. And so we've got something. I will give you some more directions. Am I saying something wrong? So far, so good. Okay. But we want to do that. And so when we contact you, we're not asking you to take 40 pallets. We're asking you to do that. And so we kind of knock it out. Some of you, you work shift work and all. You could not be here for some of this, but you would be glad to do something. And we're going to try and get them all in February. And have it up. And Rusty said, if you go to the Harley place there on Lovell, they've got the same idea. So any of those two places, you kind of see. And we'll take some pictures and have that and just have a different look in here. How many of you like that idea? And we'll have a little sweat in it and all. Some of you got some different tools and things, and you wouldn't mind doing some of that stuff. Or you got some buddies that owe you a favor, and you can put them to work. So that's kind of where we are there, but everything else. So thank you for that. We're glad you're here today. Take some time, fellowship, say hello to the other folks. I've had folks asking me, you came out early this morning about service and all tonight, and I really want to have service and pray. I mean, just kind of, I don't want to put anybody on the spot. It is crazy cold. How many of you think it's crazy cold outside? How many of you come out tonight, it'll be like the first night you've been out in 8 or 9 days. Those kind of, just see me at the door. I don't want anybody to get sick, and I don't want anybody to be, it's just unusual weather, isn't it? I'm not used to sub-zero weather, and maybe it'll be warmer tonight. But anyway, we're trying to be conscientious. But we hadn't had service on night in a few weeks, and I'm about to go crazy. I'm ready to have service, but I don't want to. Especially some of you that are a little older and dealing with sickness, I don't want to ask you to choose between health and church. So anyway, see me on the way out if you got a thought about that, because I really want to get back on a normal schedule. Glad you're here this morning. Say amen. Glad to be with other folks. Let's be dismissed in a word of prayer. Brother Riley, would you dismiss us, please?